Pope Francis picked that name, a name that has connections through the Society of Jesus Order, as well as St. Francis of Assisi was seen as kind of like, you know, a reformer and someone who imitated the poverty and humility of Christ.
It was a relatively short conclave. The new Pope Francis elected on the fifth ballot, one of the fastest conclaves in years. A quick decision had not been expected. Many had said Thursday at the earliest, maybe Friday. What are you surprised by the rapidity of this decision?
A little bit. It's interesting, though, that the man who was elected Pope was considered to be a front runner in 2005, and a lot of the conventional wisdom prior to this conclave was that Bergoglio's time had passed, and it's interesting that that he was elected this time around. That might have been one of the reasons why he was elected, because he was a familiar face.
What can you tell us about him and his thinking? Is he a traditional conservative, leaning more liberal perhaps on some issues?
The Catholic Church doesn't plot out on the United States' spectrum of liberal and conservative ideologies. And I think Pope Francis will probably be somebody who will be thoroughly Catholic, which means on some social issues he'll be seen as being conservative, whether on like economic issues and political issues, he'll be very much leaning to the, more progressive side of things. He is, though, interested, besides being a Jesuit, a member of the Society of Jesus, which is, you know, a very large and very powerful religious order for men in the church, he's also connected with Communion and Liberation, which is one of these prelature groups which are very popular during the papacy of John Paul II, and so those groups are usually viewed as being conservative, kind of like evangelical groups, so to speak.
Pope Benjamin had the unwelcome task of having to follow Pope John Paul II, a very charismatic, very popular pope. With now following Pope Benjamin, Pope Francis won't have so much of a challenge, do you think?
He will a little bit, because of perhaps being of age or whatever. But his connection, like I said, to Communion and Liberation puts him in with not just a powerful group or what you might want to call a conservative group, but also a young group. And being a Jesuit, his spirituality is kind of formed to go out and seek new things and maybe not perhaps be quite so reticent. So it's very difficult for anyone to follow in John Paul II's shoes, even now, 8 years after his death. But Pope Francis might be a little bit more outgoing. He certainly, in his when he came to meet the Roman crowds just a few minutes ago, clearly had an ease linguistically as well as pastorally to kind of get, like, embrace the crowd, so to speak. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
We are speaking on WAMC with Dr. Jeffrey Marlett, Professor of Religious Studies at the College of St. Rose, about the selection of a new pope, Pope Francis. Professor, what do you expect the major issues to be? Of course, there's the clergy sex abuse scandal, which will probably be on top of his agenda, trying to move the church forward. But also, there's been problems at the Vatican Bank. There's talk of corruption within the Vatican and, of course, the bureaucracy. Any large organization has an often sluggish and unresponsive bureaucracy. What are some of the issues he will have to tackle?
Well, all of those. I think that might be one of the two reasons why he picked the name Francis, you know, the first one. One, like I said, Francis of Assisi during the Middle Ages was seen as, you know, kind of like a get back to Jesus kind of reformer of the Middle Ages. And that sense of simplicity and piety and humility has always been very popular among Italian Catholics, but also among the church. You know, like that's something that my students often like, you know, the stories about St. Francis, but also the Jesuit missionary St. Francis Xavier, who was one of the first Jesuit missionaries to go to China. So this notion of kind of like reaching out into new areas is also part of, combined with, you know, kind of with the humility element behind his name. And so therefore, when he tackles these kinds of issues that you mentioned, Vatican bureaucracy, media, for lack of a better term, media relations, and then, of course, you know, administrative issues dealing with clergy sexual abuse, among other issues. I think what you're going to see with a name like Francis is that, one, it won't be heavy-handed. He is firm. Like Jorge Bergoglio was a pretty firm and conservative, at least, you know, Orthodox bishop and cardinal, so not any kind of like leeway there. But I think you might see like perhaps an attempt to try and be more pastoral, whereas certainly during the pontificate of John Paul II, the stereotype was the Vatican's always authoritarian. And I still think you'll see an exercise of Vatican authority, but with a different different panache, a different feel than previously. Because we do have a pope from a different part of the world now, like you said. You know, like the cardinals went all to the end of the world to find a bishop for Rome. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's a new territory.
Would you expect this pope to be one who issues many encyclicals, or one who, like Pope John Paul II, gets out among the crowds more than that?
You know, that's interesting, because quite frankly, it's interesting now that Bergoglio was elected. I think a lot of people are kind of thinking, well, you know, if Cardinal Dolan was elected, what would it be like if Angelo Scola was elected? What would that be like? I think he'll probably be a mix of the two, sounds like I'm waffling. But Bergoglio has the ability to do both. And it's interesting, you know, that Benedict was willing to just write a few encyclicals, and the encyclicals he wrote were dynamite. They're quite interesting. It'll be interesting to see what kind of issues Pope Francis sets out in his first writings.
One final question, Professor. His relationship with the American church, as I mentioned early on, church attendance is down, some churches are closing, emerging Catholic schools are closing. What is going to be his major focus among the 50 states?
Well, it'll be interesting to see because, like, since he's from Argentina, his view of American issues will be very different than North American perspectives. And, you know, one of the things that would not be surprising is that he probably, for lack of a better term, makes a joke about, like, you know, first world problems. Like, there are other, you know, the other things, you know, being much more concerned about than perhaps things that seem very important to Catholics in the United States. So in other words, a kind of like fatherly kind of like reprimand, like, you know, open your mind and, you know, don't focus just on your own problems. Also, like I mentioned with St. Francis Xavier referencing the name, Benedict had announced before he stepped down, that year of new evangelization, and certainly that's something that Pope Francis, whose name references two of the church's great, you know, evangelical missionary leaders, is something he's going to certainly embrace and not discontinue. So I would not be surprised if you see actually, you know, increased presence by the new pope in social media, YouTube, you know, places where people are, not just trying to shore up, you know, old ways of being Catholic, but also embracing new ways.
Dr. Jeffrey Marlett, Professor of Religious Studies at the College of St. Rose in Albany, thank you very much for joining us today on Northeast Report.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on.